Well, dear friends, this evening I want us to think about this promise of the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 32 and 33, that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about Him pulling people, drawing people to Himself. It's an amazing thing, and we've been looking at these promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are hundreds and hundreds of these promises. But this is an unusual promise. Let us read it again, verse 32. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This He said, signifying what death He should die. Now, if you want to, as I said, a title for this message, I think I would call it "Christ Pulls Us to Himself." So our Lord Jesus Christ here is foretelling something. He's saying that He's going to die, that He's going to be crucified, is foretelling His crucifixion. He's not only telling us that He's going to die, well, all of us will die. You can say the same thing, but He actually says the manner in which He will die. And that's by crucifixion. He's going to be lifted up. And that must have been very shocking for the disciples to hear. And those people who heard the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have been an amazing thing to hear. It would have been a very strange thing to hear. And yet He's telling them that there is, in this crucifixion, we could say an attraction. This attractive force, it does something to people. It's a very strange promise. Friends, the world has many leaders, many religious leaders. The name of nearly all of them are forgotten. And what happens is that men invent religions. A man comes and he invents a religion. He has a following. He's a particular teacher of a particular religion, ideas. He impresses people with his presence, with his eloquence, with his wisdom, with his writing, with his speech, with the things that he says, and then he dies. You know, there are some popular speakers, well-known people right now, on social media, on the news, in public spheres, they're popular. They sound very conservative. They sound very good in many, many ways. But you know, when they die, their names will also perish. People will not really remember them. So for a little while, they have certain momentum. And so there are various people from all over the world will read their books, listen to them. But there'll come a time that not many people really know much about them. They soon go away. Those people who had been convinced of these ideas, they will become less sure. And usually within a few years, they would move on to some other leader, some other famous person. So people die. Famous people die. And their names perish. Their influences perish. But Jesus Christ says, "I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die." Now, this is the Roman world. There are certain words in the English that we don't use in polite conversations, and certain words that we never use at all. And in the Roman world, no Roman citizen normally ever used the word crucified. It was very rare for a Roman citizen to be crucified. But it was very common for someone conquered by Rome to be crucified, a criminal, and in the highest degree of punishment they could give them, it was crucifixion. And slaves particularly, they're usually crucified if they were found guilty of a serious crime. It's a terrible, terrible kind of death. And the Lord Jesus Christ was very open about it, very public about it. He says, "I'm going to be lifted up from the earth. I'm going to be crucified. And when that happens, I will draw all people." Now, this is an interesting phrase. All men. What's this talking about? Every single individual in this world are going to be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is another thing that we have to understand, that it's talking of all kinds of people. Not every single individual person in this whole world. No, it's not talking about people from past or people from future, people from areas where the Lord Jesus Christ was not known at that time. He's not talking about that. So we have to understand these words in a particular way. But he's saying there's an attraction. There is something that is going to pull people from all kinds of walks of life. And so by this unspeakable, literally unspeakable death, there's going to be released an attractive force into the whole world. It's like a magnet that will be pulling people. And if we talk about Christian preaching, has proved that very thing. You know, people can preach. People can expand certain passages, but it's not Christian preaching. A Jew could preach that. A Muslim could preach that. Some form of morality. Some general aspect of God. And so preachers have to be very careful that their preaching would be Christ-centered. That we would draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Point Him out in all of the scriptures. And Christian preaching, real Christian preaching, is the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, we preach Christ and Him crucified. And that kind of a preaching has gone on in every year since then. Every single year, that kind of preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ has gone on in God's true churches. Somewhere in the world, somebody has been preaching the cross. Sometimes the message has been almost obliterated, but never completely. So in the darkest times, you'd also hear some obscure people. Maybe they didn't get everything right, but they did preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever and wherever the cross has been preached, people have been gathered to Christ, and sometimes in considerable numbers. The history of the Christian church is a history of blood, we could say. The message is the message of the blood of His cross. The story of the church is a story of blood, and yet the Christian church has never ceased to grow from the day it first started. So we are going to ask a number of questions from this text. That's what I like to do, asking questions, especially as you understand, I really find it difficult, if I'm honest with you, and I'm just being frank with you. When there's a text of a scripture, I really find it hard to preach from that. I rather preach through a narrative rather than just statements. So what I do with statements, if you have been listening to my preaching, I usually ask questions of it. And then bring it out. That's what I find helpful. So I've got a number of questions to ask from this text, and I hope that you'll follow. So first of all, I want to ask this text, verses 32 and 33 especially. One of the questions is this. What are people attracted to? What are people attracted to? Because the promise is this. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So what actually does the magnet, as it were, draw these people to? Well, this magnet draws them to the magnet. Some people are attracted to church. They just like the atmosphere of the church. Oh, you are a very friendly church. I like to come amongst you. Some people are attracted to cathedrals, to big buildings, and so on. Some people are attracted to monasteries, and they like the idea of quiet life and the simple life and lots of time to be on your own and think and to pray. That's the idea that some people are attracted to these things. Some people are attracted to church music and they say, I go to this church because of the kind of music that they play. Some people are attracted to the Christian life, the lifestyle. I mean, they say, well, these Christians that I have seen are nice people, aren't they? They socialize well and they talk sensibly and they seem to be happy with each other. And some people think, well, that's the kind of life I want to have. Look at their families and so on. I want to keep company with them. But when the message of the cross of Jesus Christ is preached, this death of Christ upon the cross and what actually happened there, it is not to those things that people are attracted. They're attracted to Him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who died upon the cross that has this attractive influence. It's to Him that they're attracted. He says, if I be lifted up, if I am lifted up from the earth, I am going to draw all men to myself, to me. And in the early to mid-1700s, there was a group of fine Christians, at least in those days, on the continent called the Moravians. Sadly, most of them have fallen to liberalism, and they now reject the Bible, many of them. But there are still some godly ones found today. But they felt that they must tell this message to the whole world. And it's very interesting to study their lives, and you'll find that they were exceedingly adventurous. So, for example, these Moravians were the first people to take the gospel to Greenland. But the people of Greenland that they went to were very, very primitive people at the time. They mostly couldn't read, they couldn't write. Most of them had no concept of the being of a God. They had no real laws. They were not orderly. They were uncivilized, primitive people. And the Moravians thought to themselves, well, first of all, we must teach them that there is a God. And secondly, we must teach them that there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong according to the Word of God. And they must instill in them a sense of law, because until we do that, they thought, we'll never be able to instill in them the message about sin and doing wrong things. And then until they've got a sense of sin, they'll never understand the gospel message. That's what they thought. So they went about doing those kinds of things in that logical way that they thought. And the Moravians have spent years teaching about God and conscience and law and sin, and no effect. Nobody was interested. It didn't have any impact at all. But then one day, one of the Moravians was reading publicly, and there was a man who was listening to this Moravian man, and he was reading just the Word of God in public. And he read about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was reading through John, and he read about, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He read about Christ being crucified, and this man stopped him. This Greenlander said, but you're telling me this, that God came to earth as Jesus and He died for a Greenlander like me? Is that what you're saying? Is that what your Bible is telling me? Yes. He said, well, it's wonderful. This message is wonderful, what you're telling me. And that was the beginning of the founding of the Greenland Church. From that moment onward, people were coming to the Lord because for years they'd been told about God and conscience and law and sin and those kinds of things, but they hadn't really been told about the cross of Jesus Christ, what actually Jesus Christ did for sinners. Because these Moravians thought, well, they can't understand that. So we won't tell them that. We'll have to set the foundations for them, and so on. And dear friends, we ought to be careful sometimes with some of the apologetics that goes on as well. There is too much dependence sometimes on apologetics, and I'm not against it. And thinking, well, unless they understand about creation, they won't understand about this and that. Well, who are we to make that judgment? The Apostle Paul says, we preach Christ and Him crucified. We need to preach Christ. We need to preach about His cross. He said that we, in the cross of Jesus Christ, we glory. And they went out preaching to all these heathens with all kinds of backgrounds on ideas and false beliefs. These Moravians didn't think that the Greenlanders were ready for it yet. Who are we to think like that? Christian teaching, the Bible's teaching, is that the cross should be at the forefront. The cross should be in the middle, and the cross should be at the back of the preaching that goes on about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cross is the first thing you talk about. The cross is the continuing thing you talk about, and the last thing you talk about. We glory in it. We thank God for it. We are preaching Christ and Him crucified. That's the thing. What are they preaching at Providence Baptist Chapel in Cheltenham? They're preaching about Christ and Him crucified. That's what they're doing. When they're dealing with Genesis, when they're dealing with Revelation, they're preaching about Jesus Christ. That's where we begin. And there's a power in it. There's an open-air preacher many years ago in Wales preaching that I read about at the beach. And there were people passing by at the beach. And he was faithful. He was earnest. And people were shouting at him and swearing at him, calling him everything under the sun. And all he did was to talk about the cross, the events, what happened, when it happened, what happened at the same time, what went on, why did Jesus Christ die? He told them the story of the cross. And he explained why. Why would God do such a thing? And this horrible, hostile crowd, they went quiet. The evening was coming and there was this crowd became very quiet, and all they could hear was this voice of this preacher preaching about the cross of Jesus Christ, and the voice of the sea, the splash of the sea. That's all that could be heard, this man said. And then, at the end of this preaching, this man had a Gospel of John in his hand, and he said, well, all of these things, you find it in the Word of God, and here is a copy of the Gospel of John. Who wants to have it? And hands went up. And all of these people who had been shouting and swearing at this man, they came and said, we want a copy of this Gospel of John. What happened? It's interesting, isn't it? This power. The reason there was this response, because there is power in the message of the cross. And in the message of cross, it's to Jesus Christ. It's to Jesus that people are attracted to. So that's our first question. What are people attracted to? Not merely to a cross, but to Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, the Lord Jesus Christ said. But the second question is this. Who is attracted? Who is attracted? It says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And you've noticed that this phrase, all men, that word men in our authorized version, because they literally translated it there, they have the term men is put in italics. That means that the translators are supplying that word to help us to get the sense of it. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this. If I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all. All will be drawn to me. And that's the fact. When the cross of Jesus Christ is preached, when the person of Jesus Christ is preached and spoken about, when it is explained, everybody from all kinds of backgrounds are attracted to it. Oh yes, not everyone yields to it, but everyone is attracted to it. The story of missions and missionaries in history is the attractiveness of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a handful of disciples. But by the time that we get to the end of the New Testament, throughout the Roman Empire, the gospel has gone forth. Not everyone is converted, but the gospel has gone throughout the Roman Empire. It's an amazing thing, amazing story to read about. There were Christians all over the place in the Roman Empire. And as you follow church history, before the end of the first century, some historians would say that even there were Christians found in Cornwall. That's amazing. Certainly, by the middle of the second century, there are Christians in Wales. And their message is the message of the cross. We have some of their writings, some of the things that they preached. There's a Celtic church. People come to Christ in Wales, in Ireland, in England, and they go evangelizing various parts of the world which they can reach. So they go off to Scandinavia. They go off to Germany. They have the island of Iona as one of their bases, and the ships are launched. They go out. They go to parts of Ireland. They go to parts of France. They go with this wonderful message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the message that they take. So wherever this message goes, it does amazing things. It conquers people, wins souls. Now here we are. We are in, what year is it? 2024. We are not many people here, we could say, tonight. We are not immense numbers, are we? But think about the millions upon millions of people who have been won to Christ and are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just throughout the ages, but right now. It's an amazing fact. In China, there are 1,400 million people, or 1.4 billion people. There are people who analyze these things and what's going on in China. And people who aren't Christians analyze what's going on in China. And the most conservative, so the lowest estimate in China, is that there are over 50 million people who believe like we believe about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about His person, His cross. It's an amazing thing. And the Lord is working. I saw a picture just last week of a room. It was a room a little bit like this in some ways, but without any chairs. But there are all these pads on the floor. And at the back of this building, back of this room, there are all these, it looked like duvets and sleeping bags and things like that. It was a very strange setup. And the person had said that this was a picture of their prayer meeting. That's a strange prayer meeting. That they have duvets and pillows and sleeping bags in their prayer meeting. How can you have things like that? Maybe people fall asleep. You see, but the thing is that the reason for it is that because people wanted to stay on for the prayer meeting as long as it went on. And they would, some of them would be drowsy, but they wanted to carry on being there because they wanted to be in the midst of people who would pray. And so they would get into their sleeping bag, go to sleep for an hour or two, and then they wake up again. And they join the prayer meeting again. They haven't left the prayer meeting. Would you have prayer meetings like that in England? I don't think so, but they do it differently in foreign lands. But this is in the midst of a revival. God is at work. It's amazing. But the message of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is being preached. And that not just in China. And a more enormous amount of believers in Africa, a great amount in South America, which is virtually where the gospel was virtually unknown until the 1950s, 70 years ago or so. And yet, how many believers are there now? This message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified goes out into the world and it's conquering. It's amazing. In the country of Iran, my homeland, people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's this message, nothing else. And it's all kinds of people, all kinds of men. And that's why they have put it there. There are intellectuals, there are royalty, there are middle-class folk, there are poor folk. The ordinary Christians, ordinary people being attracted by this message. There are millions of people who even can't read or write, who come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this message. It's not because we are not Christians because we can read or write. We are Christians because we have been attracted by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been won over by the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the regrets that we should have in Britain, I think, is that so many people, especially the working classes of Britain on the whole, have not been well spoken to about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most Christians in Britain belong to what most folk would call them the middle classes. Nothing wrong in being middle class. Most of us here are middle classes, I would say. It's not a sin. But the hearts of, I'm sure your heart and mine are aching for the millions in Britain who still don't understand and still many who haven't heard. It's new to them. And the churches are not preaching about this. They say some sentimental thing about it now and again, but that's it. But who is attracted? Well, everyone's attracted, but people of all sorts, all nations, because there are Christian churches in every nation of the world. People of all sorts of backgrounds and education and temperament and talent. One great message. So what are people attracted to? Who is attracted? What actually attracts them is the third thing I want to say. What attracts them? In 1735, in Cardigan's year, in the little tiny remote village of, I can't even say it, in somewhere in West Wales, it doesn't have any vowels in it. I find it hard to pronounce. But there was a man called Daniel Rowland. Some of you have heard about him. He was converted. He knew nothing about conversion when he became a clergyman. He was an Anglican clergyman. He was a minister. And he didn't know anything about conversion. He didn't even know that there was such a thing to be converted. But God did a wonderful thing. And then down near Brecon, there was another man called Howell Harris. And he was converted both at the same time, Daniel Rowland and Howell Harris. In the same year, they didn't meet each other for the next 2 years, but both became preachers. And Daniel Rowland went on to preach and preach the gospel. And he went to his church building and preached and preached and preached. And we are told by historians that his sermons were quite long. And so there's an account of the sun would rise and the light would shine through one window and he would still preach. And then until the sun has gone to the other, then now the sun is shining through the other window at the opposite of the church. And so his sermons were quite long, but the amazing work of the Spirit that was happening in those days. People were not, they didn't look at their watches. They probably didn't have watches. They were not thinking to themselves, well, he's going for a long time. But there was an attraction and the Spirit of God was working in the hearts of those people. There was this attraction. People came from all over Wales and beyond. We are told that people would go to the coast in Flintshire in rowing boats. Think of it. And row down to the Welsh coast and then park their boats on a little beach or jetty, and then walk a day or so. Think about it. Walk a day. Would you walk a day to church? This is what exactly was happening in times of revival and when God had visited Wales. But people were walking for a day to go and hear what this Daniel Roland was preaching about. What was he preaching about? It's amazing, isn't it? Now, if he'd been talking about some famous liquid or some famous medicine that he's discovered which would make people feel better to deal with cancer and things like that, well, do you think people would have done the things that they did for 50 years? This happened for 50 years of his ministry. People would be going every Lord's Day, and they would be planning, not just Sunday morning before to say, well, we need to get up early and go. No, they would have gone on Saturday so that they could get to church on time. Can you imagine that happening right now in our day of affluence? No, no. But when God visits, and when there is this attraction of the message that is preached, see, he wasn't preaching about politics, is not preaching about the scientific discovery or anything like that. Those kinds of things would not have the same kind of attraction as what he was preaching. We've got some sermons of Daniel Roland left, and he preached only in Welsh, but thankfully they are translated into English. And what are they talking about? When you read them, you think, well, our pastor preaches just the same things. He says the same things. And I've heard many sermons like this as well. But you see, when God works, this cross of Jesus Christ was the thing that he was preaching about, the message of salvation that he was preaching about, what Jesus Christ had done on the cross that he was preaching about. That was the thing that was attracting people. Now, you travel in your cars or however you travel in Wales, you will see chapels everywhere. You see chapel buildings at least. But sadly today it's been turned into a garage, turned into a home, turned into a sort of a carpet shop or something like, or left empty, or sadly in so many places made into mosques. But they weren't always empty. They weren't always in those conditions. They were places where there were many, many people. You think about it. Someone said to me this morning of that little chapel in Otley in Suffolk that some of you know that we hope to, some of us go there and do some outreach. That chapel used to have 500 people going to it. There was a time. There was an attraction. But you see what happens in many, many situations, the people's attitude changes about what should be preached. Maybe we should preach about some other things. Why do we go on about the same things? Let's preach some political philosophy. Maybe preach something about philosophy itself. Maybe we should preach about good works and morality. Maybe we should preach some human ideas and preach about climate and preach about this and that and the other thing. Preaching about people's ideas, what's happening in the news. And then so what you see, this one closes down. That church closes down. That other place closes down. Because there is nothing attractive. People get those things in the news if they wanted to. There's nothing that attracts like the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go on the internet, it's awash with Christianity. It's the greatest single subject. On the whole of the internet is Christianity. And if you go on YouTube or somewhere like that, there are countless, countless messages. And messages which have the greatest number of hits is the messages about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just looking at the messages of Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones. The ones that were the highest ratings and the highest number of people viewing it and listening to it was about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? They think, well, this is the most old-fashioned thing. Who wants to listen? But actually, people are attracted to it. They want to know, what's this about? So what actually attracts people? Well, it's the story of love, isn't it? God loves the world of sinners. God pities sinners. He loves sinners so much. He sent a Savior, a suffering Savior. God detests sin and must punish it, but He punished His own Son instead. The innocent, the pure, the holy Son of God, so that we would never need to be punished. All of us who come to Jesus Christ, none of us need to be punished. It's a message which brings sheer relief to people. Oh, God is against me. The Bible tells me God is against sin and I'm a sinner. But now He's for me. It's an amazing thing. My sins cry out for judgment, but they've been judged at the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid that price. I am at peace with God when I stand at the great, terrible day of judgment. I will be acquitted. Why? Because Jesus Christ took my place. It's a startling message. That's what's represented here before us. It's an amazing message of the communion service, the Lord's Supper. It's this message of the cross of Jesus Christ. I remember reading about a preacher who asked a man in his congregation, what persuaded you to become a Christian? He said, well, I read the Bible that Jesus changed water into wine. Well, that didn't impress me. And then I saw the Lord Jesus Christ changing beer into furniture. The minister said, well, tell me more about this. I've not read this one in the Bible before. So the man said this, I had a terrible upbringing, very terrible upbringing. My father was a perpetual drunk, swearing, blasphemous. He was impure. He was violent. He worked on the docks. And then something happened to him. He stopped swearing. He stopped drinking. He stopped blaspheming. He stopped being violent. So this man said, well, we literally were sitting on soap boxes. And now we had a table. Now we had a chair. Now we had a sofa. Now we had proper beds. And everything changed in our home. I saw Jesus Christ changing beer into furniture, he said. So I'm trying to make a point here that the Lord Jesus Christ does actually change people. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ only. And it's just something about His love. It's something about the peace that He gives, the change that He gives, the fact that He suffered for us. It is attractive that Christ actually, the Son of God, would suffer for a sinner like me. That's attractive. No one else has done such a thing. It's irresistible to the human soul. So if you're unconverted here this evening, but you still don't know what to make of Christianity, you get a Bible, and I'm sure you have one, and you read the message of the Bible about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find it in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's told you four times over. And then you'll begin to understand. And then you'll never let Christianity go again. If you prayerfully seek these things and call upon the Lord about these things, there's an attractive power which is irresistible in the lives of millions of people. So what are people attracted to? Who is attracted? What actually attracts them? Who does this drawing, or how does this drawing take place? He draws people. He pulls them towards Himself. That's what He does. I'd like you to do an experiment later on. You get a magnet. You boys and girls, this is what you should do. Get a magnet, ask your mom and dad to give you a magnet. And you put a few nails on the table and you bring the magnet down towards the nails. And then what you find is one of the nails just jumps up to the magnet. And then you bring it a little bit further down and then you see another one. And another one, another one. All of these nails are jumping up, being attracted to this magnet. So there's one at the beginning, and then the next one, and then the next one. Isn't that amazing? There's a force at work. That's why they're attracted. There's a force at work. There's this force that is pulling them. And that's usually how the Lord draws people. We could talk more about these things, dear friends, but our time is gone. You see, these things then, dear friends, here the Lord says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." It's a supernatural force that draws people to himself. You think about the fact that how the sparrows that come from South Africa, they come and you see them in the springtime maybe on these telephone lines or electricity lines, and you see them all come and all jumping next to each other, sitting next to each other, and then suddenly they vanish away as if something called them. They all fly away and then they all return again. And you think, how is that possible? These, which had gone all the way down to South Africa, have come back to the very location. Each year they do this. There's an attraction that pulls them back. We can't explain it, what it's like. And so it is with the things of God as well. This attraction of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are the people who are attracted? It could be anybody who would be attracted. And the preachers then, we ought to be very careful to be preaching this message. How can you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? How can you know him? How can you be a true Christian? It's to come to know the Savior who died upon the cross for our sins. Now, if you're a Christian here tonight, and many of you are, you think to yourself, well, what shall I say to somebody? How can I explain the gospel to someone? As I'm applying these things, you think, I need to explain to them about the cross of the Lord Jesus. I need to explain to them what Jesus Christ did for us poor sinners and leave the matter with the Lord. It's the Lord who attracts them. It's the Lord who is going to pull them to himself. But I need to be faithful and I need my life to be a display of the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners. And if they ask me about why you're living like this, why are you doing that? Then use that as an opportunity to explain to them, because Jesus Christ died for me. Let me explain to you what he did on the cross for my soul, that he was nailed to that cross and he took on all of my guilt and all of my sins. That's the thing that is going to attract them. Not all the other matters, all the detail and trying to deal with all the answers and things like that. I'm becoming more and more convinced about that. This is what the Lord Jesus says then. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Well, the hymn that we are going to sing in a moment, it begins by saying, "I will sing the wondrous story of the cross who died for me." But then it says this, "Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way." Well, may God then bless his word to us. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray that this message of Christ crucified would be our theme and our song. For Jesus' sake, amen.